for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Linda Sutter Olson from Wisconsin is the speaker of the evening.
How many have enjoyed the camp meeting till now? Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, I want to tell you, I have been more than any other time in recent memory, I have been blessed by this camp. And I have to give a testimony every time I come, because every time there's something extra to add. But most of you know that 9 years ago I was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor, and you began to pray. And Dr. Noll, my doctor, my neurologist, I went to see him. He always has something different to say every time. And this last time I went to see him, he says, looks like you're going to die of old age. Amen. He says, you're a whole lot better than when you came in here a few years ago. Praise the Lord. And I've never felt led to say anything to him about prayer or anything like that. You know, he's got a reputation as an agnostic. But I said to him, I says, well, doctor, I've got hundreds of people all over the world praying for me. And you know what he said? He says, well, it seems to be working. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. So we just keep on going. And as I've said in the meetings here, I've felt strengthened. And he knows I've never probably been this sharp before. I've always kind of dragged out of here and dragged back in. But I'll tell you what, I've been invigorated. I'm stronger every day. I don't need as much sleep at night. And I just feel good. I didn't sleep this afternoon. I was going to, but I didn't. I got into the Word, and I got so excited about the Word, it just invigorated me. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Word is supposed to do? It's supposed to invigorate us, revitalize us. Hallelujah. And anyway, I want to share a verse of Scripture. This isn't really what where I'm going tonight. But as I was standing here and watching what was going on in the song service, I realized that this is probably a little bit what was happening in the book of Ezra when they laid the foundation for the temple of the Lord or the house of God. Because there was a number of generations there. There was the old generation and there was the new generation. Amen? And it says of the older generation that they wept when they saw the foundation being laid, because they remembered the glory of the former day. And of the younger generation, it said they shouted for joy. And, you know, they had no, they didn't have any frame of reference, the younger generation. They didn't have anything to compare to what was happening. And as far as they were concerned, this was great. And I don't know if there was a new song and an old song, and they were trying to blend them together. I just know that the Scripture says in Ezra chapter 3 that all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I don't believe that there's a generation gap in what God is doing today. There may be a little bit different melody. And I'll be the first to say that I don't necessarily flow with the new melody. But I'll tell you what, I really identify with the words. Amen. I mean, we sang tonight, I want more of Jesus. And isn't that how you feel? You want more of the Lord? You know, it's a new melody, but there's a song we used to sing years ago. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Different melody, same words, same message. Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to try. I don't want to get all shook up when there's one sound and we don't quite relate to it because we weren't born into that sound, if I can say that. But I tell you what, the message is the same. I want more of the Lord. And I think I heard Sister Ruth say that at some point today. And I'll tell you what, in my heart, I feel the same way. You know, when I was young, when I was 5 years old, you know, we came from the farm and moved to town. I've told the story before. And we didn't have a Norwegian Lutheran church to go to. By the way, you Cajuns, I'll tell you something. I don't know Cajun jokes, but I sure know Sven and Ole jokes. You know? Sven and Ole, I'm not going to tell any tonight, but I know a few, and they're very similar to the Cajun jokes. But we didn't have a Norwegian church to go to, so my mother, we lived just a block away from the Assembly of God Church, and we went by there, and she heard music coming out the door that sounded like what we sang in our church that we had come from on the farm, so she thought it safe for me to go there. Well, this was the time of the latter rain, and the Lord was moving in that church in that kind of anointing. I was 5 years old. Amen. And I went into that church as a child, and I was touched by the Spirit of God, and I would never be the same again. I could never go back to the liturgy that I had grown up in. And from that age till about age 18, you know, I just kind of suffered when we finally went back to the Lutheran church when we moved. But I could never be the same because I had been touched by the Spirit of God and something was birthed in me and it created a hunger. I'd always had a hunger for God from the time I was born. I had a doctor ask me once, how come you decided to go in the ministry? And, you know, I said, well, it was just always there. I didn't really have a choice in the matter. It was just always there. Doctor up at the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Null. And he said, oh, it was like a calling. And I says, you got it. I says, it was a calling. I've always had it. Couldn't get away from it. And but when I got into that latter rain flow, and I don't necessarily want to put a label on something, because I think what God is doing today is going to surpass what we experienced back then. But it ruined me to try to get back to anything else. Hallelujah. I want more of the Lord. And there's a song we used to sing. Something within me got a hold of the rain. Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me I can't explain. Oh, that I know, oh, that I know there's something within. How many can identify with that? You know, it's always been there. I've always been hungry for more of the Lord. My relatives don't understand it. I can't explain it. I just know that it's there. And it wasn't itching ears. It wasn't a new doctrine. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, it opened up a whole new... I didn't know about that, you know, in those early days when I was sitting there. I just know they had something. Amen? And so tonight, I want to instill in you... I want to instill in you, Glenn, because I believe I have a word of the Lord for you and for the camp. I want to instill in all of us hope. Amen? Hope for what is before, what is ahead of us. The Scripture says that when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. And I want to instill in you hope that you'll get a hold of something. Amen. And press on. And realize it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at, there's a couple scriptures I want to share with us tonight. When I say us, it's because I preach to myself. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:8. And then you can also turn to Revelation chapter 12. But 1 Peter 5:8. My husband gave me a Thompson Chain reference Bible here, and I'm not quite accustomed to it yet. I decided to start preaching from it. And so, and he says hi, by the way. You know, he says to tell you hello. When I told him this morning I was going to preach tonight, he says, let him have it. Amen. See, he's a pastor also, and he says, let him have it with both barrels. And I says, well, I'm going to preach hope. And so I'm going to try to give it to you with both barrels tonight. First Peter. I can't even. Just a minute here. Beg your pardon? Right. Don't do that to me. Just hold on a second. Okay, here we go. 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8, and 9. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Hallelujah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that when we suffer a little bit, something happens within us? Amen. It does something for us. It does something. If we'll have a heart to receive it, it will do something that produces in you an eternal weight of glory coming down. Amen. It will do something good for you if you'll just receive it and not fight it. And when you know you're in the will of God and you're walking in the will of God, some of those things that come your way, you don't understand it, but you can walk through it. You can endure it because you know that you're in the will of God and He must be doing something good in you. I mean, doing for your good is what I mean. Hallelujah. When I first got married, God had promised me before I got married that He would make me a happy mother of children. Amen. And after about a year, I wasn't very happy. Amen. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. And I thought, now something is wrong here. You know, I've got a lovely husband, and he loved me, but I wasn't very happy. And all I could see was the negative. And one day I was sitting at my desk in my office, and I was thinking to myself, something is wrong. Either I made a mistake, and I am not in God's will, or I'm seeing things through the wrong eyes, and I'm seeing things with the wrong perspective, because what God's promises, somebody said here, I think it was in a prophetic word, His promises are yes and amen. And I wasn't happy. There was something wrong because I wasn't happy. It wasn't because God's promises weren't true. It's because I had something that God wanted to get through to me. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go into the details about anything, but as I said the first night when I gave a testimony, I'm happy, I'm contented, I'm in a wonderful spot. I've got a husband that loves me. I've got some stepchildren that maybe don't know about me, but I'll tell you what, things don't change overnight. Amen. And sometimes we want things to change overnight, don't we? We don't want to go through those things. And I realize, you know, I was talking to somebody one day and she said, you know, I said, how long did it take you to get to that point? And she says, well, you know, 8 or 9 years, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, this was 3 years ago, you know. And I thought, I want it to go faster than that. And praise God, you know, the scripture says He's doing a quick work in a short time. Amen. And He is doing it. Hallelujah. You know, He has purposes for each of us. And I want you to turn also, you know, when you got saved, I want to just say this. When you got saved, you immediately became an enemy of your enemy. You hear that? You immediately became an enemy of your enemy, the one that is your adversary. You became an enemy of your adversary. You became a threat to his kingdom. It's hard to believe that someone, it doesn't matter, we can be a babe in Christ and we can still be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Isn't that wonderful? We can be an infant and be a threat to all the powers of hell that would be leveled against us because there is a new individual. There's a new man inside. And it doesn't matter how many years you've walked with God. There's something within you, hallelujah, that can come against the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a Christian for years and years to cast out a demon. You know that? You can be newly saved and cast out a demon. In fact, some years ago up in Minnesota, I was with the Charismatics, and when we found out that a demon could come out by calling it out, and I didn't even, you know, this was before I really believed in it, but I found, you know, we just had so much fun casting demons out, you know, till the wee hours of the morning out in North Dakota and up in northern Minnesota, and we'd go out for breakfast afterwards, and we thought, wow, look at those demons go. You know, and we got into some funny stuff, and I won't get into that, but, you know, because of that, I just kind of turned my back on deliverance, but I'll tell you what, it's still real. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation 12. I'm not a theologian. I'm going to leave that to Brother Speed and to some of the rest of you, and he can tell you or others can tell you about who the woman is and who the red dragon is and who the seven heads are and the ten horns and the seven crowns and his tail, it says in verse 4 of 12, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Tommy Cook can tell you all about the stars of heaven. And did cast them down to the earth. But this is, I'm talking about principle tonight. I'm not talking theology, I'm talking principle. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Do you hear that? And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And this is the principle, that when something is ready to be birthed in you, the enemy stands right there, ready to devour it the moment it's born. It happens. I've seen it happen to myself. You've seen it happen to you. You're on the brink. You're on the realm of a new place in the heavenlies, in God. And you're ready to just go in. And all of a sudden, there's that dragon there, ready to devour what God is bringing forth in your life. But I'll tell you what. The devil is not greater than God and his purposes for you. Sometimes when we're in deliverance, all we see is the black. We'll see the negative because we've been dealing with it so much. But I'll tell you, there's principle here that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And when I realized that, you know, it caused hope to rise in my heart because, you know, the devil, all he is really is an intimidator. He can't touch what God has begun in you. Doesn't the scripture say that? He which has begun a good work in you, hallelujah, shall perfect it. Amen. And so that is the principle I'm wanting to share with you tonight, that when that which is being birthed in you, even though the enemy of your soul is standing right in front of you to devour it, God is greater than that. Hallelujah. You know, most of you probably know about Joyce Meyer. And she says something that I think is really profound because I've always, as I said, I always had a heart for more of God. And she says, higher levels, bigger devils. Amen? Higher levels, bigger devils. I'm glad that some of the things that I have encountered in the last couple of years, I didn't encounter the first year or two of my spiritual walk. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But But God has given me eyes to see that, you know, He's still bigger than the biggest devil that can face us and can torment us and can try to devour us and devour you. He cannot do it. Not unless you let Him. Not unless you open a door for Him to come in. I tell you, it makes me angry when I see people give greater authority to the enemy than to God. He doesn't have the same attributes that God has. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. And He's not, what's the other one? Omnipotent, omniscient. I beg your pardon? Omnipresent. He's none of those things. God is that. He may have His little imps, His demons running around, but He does not know, He cannot read your mind. And the only way He can know, as far as I'm concerned, what's going on is if you talk too much. And we can talk, and you can begin to share the secret of the Lord. And when you do that, I'll tell you, when God has given you something and it's a secret and you open your mouth and blab it, which I have been so prone to do, and I've asked the Lord 100 times, if not more, to forgive me when I open my mouth, because He'll steal it from you. What God has, that promise God has given you. What did God say? What did the Scripture say that Mary did when the Lord spoke to her? She pondered those things in her heart. And the reason I tell you that God is not, that the enemy is not all-knowing and doesn't read our minds, because it was difficult for the enemy, for Herod to know where Jesus was. If the devil could read minds, he could show it to Herod, and Herod didn't know. Amen? You're quiet tonight, you know, but that's okay. It's still truth. Amen. Yeah, right. You know, when I don't know if it was Butch or if it was you, Ronnie, that were talking about it, but you know, Southern preachers go up north and they think the Northerners, you know, are really very quiet. And I was telling, I don't know if you know Brother Philip down there in somewhere in Louisiana. He's a friend of Butch's. And I told him one time, because he's a powerful preacher, and he was making a joke about us Northerners, and I said, listen, when a Northern, you can tell when a Northerner is with you. You can tell when they are really with you if you look at their eyes, and if their eyes dilate, that means amen. You know, we're just not as expressive as the South, but it helps, you know, when you do hear that somebody is with you in what you're saying. Hallelujah. So the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Herod didn't know who Jesus was or where He was coming from. If the enemy could read minds, you know that Moses would have been found out. And there's others that you can look at in the Scripture that were preserved and protected by God. The enemy didn't know how to find them. And it's the same, I believe, we can take that for ourselves tonight. The enemy doesn't know some of the things that God has promised you. You hear that? He will not steal it from you if God has spoken it to you and you have kept it in your heart. Other people might try to steal it from you. In fact, I've said things sometimes, I've just felt such a truth about something, and I've shared it indiscriminately, you know, casting pearls before swine, and they'll grab it, and you lose the anointing on that thing, and it's difficult for it to come back. And when you talk about the fact that you're called of God, and somebody else doesn't get a witness on it, they don't see what's in your heart, all they see is the stuff, the garbage you're carrying with you. The problem some have, I think, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's try to get this right. If we don't get deliverance when we're on a lower realm, you're going to carry those same demons right up here into this higher realm. And you wonder sometimes why some of these, you know, great, seemingly wonderful men and women of God have fallen. It's because they never got rid of those devils down here when they first got saved. Amen? And I carried a lot of demons. I carried a lot of baggage with me when I was first saved. But see, God knew my heart. He knew what was in my heart. He knew, and I didn't know that it was demons. There was things I couldn't get rid of. I didn't want to admit they were demons. You know, I'd rather call them spirits. You know, spirits, it's a more genteel, you know, way, isn't it? You know, you've got a spirit. You know, that's more genteel. But to say you have a demon, you know. No. I had spirits. I beg your pardon? Yes. Yes. But you wonder why some of these great men and women of God, or what you think, what it appears to you, why they fall. It's because they never got deliverance. And they carried those things into the greater exposure. They carried it with them. And you know, I've heard stories, and I know of people who have walked in realms that I have never walked in, that I've never tasted of. And they have come back and they have blasphemed. They have made a bad name for Christians and for the realm that they have tasted of and walked in, because they carried those demons right up there and they just stayed with him. I know a man, he visited with angels. He talked with angels. And he walked in a realm, even his wife said, that she didn't know. She never explained it. But I'll tell you what, his life was the pits. And eventually, it comes out, doesn't it? Eventually, it'll come out. When it can do the greatest damage to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. I want my life to radiate and to exemplify the purity that's in Jesus. You know, when I before I got married, I had said to the Lord, I says, Lord, you know, if you're going to give me a husband, I want somebody who understands the ministry. Well, you know, there's only one reason I said that. That's so I could act like a crab when I felt like it, you know. And, you know, he wouldn't get all bent out of shape because he understands the ministry. You know? Well, I have a husband who understands the ministry, and I could be crabby with him, but I don't believe that that's what the Lord intended. Amen? You know, that's not overcoming. You know, that was so that I could, you know, get into a realm of comfort and not have to overcome. And praise God, you know, I'm glad. I'm glad that he's merciful. Amen. I'm in for the long haul. Yeah, I'm in. Amen. Higher levels, bigger devils. Praise the Lord. Something else that I began to see. You know, it's been a privilege to see some young people, especially young men. Some of my friends have sons, and I've watched them grow up. And I've seen them, you know, develop from teenagers, and I've seen them take on fatherhood. And I've seen them in ways that I never would have thought they would have been when they were just teenagers. And I remember I was saying to a fellow the other day, I says, you know, fatherhood's really been good for you. When you get new responsibilities, you know, it kind of does something in you. You know, my one of my stepchildren, you know, I just saw them develop into a wonderful parent. Because I didn't think they had parenting skills, but they did. It came out when they were in that position that they had to have it, that they had to have them. You know, it's just kind of I see these fellows, you know, with their these men with their little children and walking hand in hand with them, and it just really has thrilled my heart. But I say that to say this: all of a sudden, I began to see something in the Spirit that I have known for years. God brought me up under some wonderful teachers. And different things that I was taught from the beginning. You know, I was just thrilled when I went to a full gospel Bible school because I was finally in a place that had the full revelation of God. But it was about a year later that I began to feel, you know, something in my heart. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. And I thought maybe it was the gifts of the Spirit. And so I asked God to give me the gifts of the Spirit, and He did. And it was okay for a season, but that didn't do a thing to satisfy this longing in my heart for more of Him. And I wondered, man, what is there? And then I heard the message about the man-child. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is really great. And I took a hold of that. I tried to get a hold of it, but you know, if it's a revelation up here and not a revelation down here, it's going to leave you cold after a while. Amen? And I was reading in the book of Hebrews one day, the 11th chapter, where it talks about the faith, men of faith, or the women of faith, and it says in the last verse of Hebrews 11 that they didn't receive what was promised because God had something better planned for them, that together with us, they would be made perfect or complete. And all of a sudden, after years, it hit me between the eyes that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Abel and Rahab and all these people that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 were waiting on me. And when that realization hit me, all of a sudden, I began to sober up. I thought, my goodness, I've got responsibilities. You know, we can talk about heaven and we think about, well, I want to go to heaven because mom and dad are there and grandpa and grandma are there and different ones of our loved ones are there and they're waiting for me to come. But I'll tell you what, heaven takes on a whole new perspective when I realize that Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are waiting on me over on the other side. Amazing, isn't it? They're cheering us on. It says the next verse in Hebrews chapter 12, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's press on, laying aside the weight and the sin, the things that don't mean anything, that we have held on to and put so much emphasis on, don't mean a thing. We held on to those things, and when you begin to get a more complete picture in your mind's eye of what God wants to do for you and through you, it pales in comparison. It doesn't even stand a chance next to the purposes of God for your life. I've been preaching this for a little while because it just so overwhelmed me that Moses is waiting on me. I've said that in our church back home, and the people just kind of look at me, you know. But what it has done for me, I mean, it's put a sobriety in me. And I can feel maturity working in me when I realize that, hey, there's something within me that Moses needs. Can you hear that? That Moses needs, that all of those Old Testament patriarchs need. And something within you that they need. Because the Scripture says together, you know, together with us, they're going to be made perfect, complete. Hallelujah. Let's turn to that for a minute. I mean, it excites me. Hebrews chapter 12. What does the writer of the Hebrews say to us? What's the command that he gives to us? Let's see. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to say with me, Moses needs me. Abraham needs me. Isaac needs me. Jacob needs me. Joseph needs me. Rahab needs me. Hallelujah. They need you. Doesn't it blow your mind? They need you. I'll tell you, there's a great day coming. Great day coming when we all get together. And I'll tell you, I'm going to enjoy fellowship with my loved ones that have gone on before me. And I'm going to enjoy I want to see Jesus. But it just never really dawned on me. After all the preaching that I've heard, that those Old Testament patriarchs needed me. Hallelujah. They didn't receive what had been promised, but they saw they saw those promises afar off. Just a moment, I want to read that verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Verse 13, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I don't know about you, but if you're trying to fit in on earth, it's not going to happen. You're not going to fit. It's not going to happen. If God has apprehended you, if you're trying to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, it's not possible to do it. Hallelujah. You're going to be miserable. You either need to get in or get out. Hallelujah. And don't waste the time of the people who have plunged in to go all the way with God. I got a greater view of heaven. It's far greater than anything that I could have imagined. And I'll tell you what, it came by revelation. I heard it. Even after all the teaching I had received, finally, it hit me. I'll tell you what, I'm 56 years old and I was introduced to some of this teaching when I was in my early 20s. And all of a sudden, the lights went on. And I could preach about that, but there wasn't any anointing on it because it wasn't preached with revelation. Brother John, Moses is waiting on you. Amen. God is such a patient God. And I'll tell you what, if He's patient with us, we need to be patient with one another. I want to see the gift of God. I look at you and I say, oh man, you know, people have been, you know, concerned about what I see in them. You know, all I see, you know, I really don't see demons. I don't look for demons. When you work with demons, you see them sometimes and you don't want to, but what I see in you is a desire to get more of God. And that's greater than anything else. Amen? The other things will try to drag you down, but God's still greater. He's got everything under control. Hallelujah. Anyway, it brought a new sobriety. And that's what Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Brother Glenn, the Lord showed me something. I came and I said, I believe I have a word. And not only for the campground, but I believe I have a word for you. And it's this, that I believe that you're the campground. And thank God you were faithful to the heavenly vision that God gave you, because if you hadn't been faithful, I wouldn't be here. And who knows where I would be, you know? I'd be a mess somewhere. But you embraced me with love. And many times I remember you praying deliverance for me up in the upstairs apartment, you and Irma. And I'm so thankful that you were obedient. But I believe what God is saying today about this ministry here is that it's in the beginning birth pangs. Come on. The beginning of birth pangs. You're on the threshold. And I don't say it because you're my friend. You're my spiritual daddy. I say it because I feel like I see it in the spirit. And I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage all of us that we're in the beginning of birth pangs. You said it, Sister Ruth. We're on the brink. We're on the verge of a new day. And God, I feel it. But I also feel it personally for the ministry here. There have been all kinds of things prophesied. And the enemy has stood right there to try to devour it before it's even birthed. But I'll tell you what, God's got it all under control. Amen. Can you believe with me for that? Hallelujah. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is about to give birth. There's new people that God is bringing in. People that are different. It may be a difficult transition, but there's a different type of people that God is bringing in. He's bringing in some young people. He's bringing in people that have no foundations, that have just been vacillating, kind of floundering. And God is going to bring them in here. The sound I feel has gone out in the Spirit. People have come here in the past looking for help, and you've been so overwhelmed with the duties around here, you haven't been able to give them the kind of help that they need and point them in the right direction, but I just feel like that is going to change. That He's going to bring in not only those that are in need of help, but I believe He's going to bring in those that will stand with you and be helpers to you and not drag you down. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for that. And we call it forth in the Spirit. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Your promises are yea and amen. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that there is no shadow of turning with You. God, that You know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and we call it forth in the Spirit that it will be a reality to our brother and sister in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And we pray healing for our brother in the name of Jesus. We call forth Your healing, and we ask You, Heavenly Father, to just allow it to come forth quickly. Amen. Moses is waiting on You. I want to say it again. Moses is waiting on You. Little old you. He sees something in you. God's people that have gone on before. Amen. That they're going to be complete. Amen. When you come in to the things that God has prepared for you to walk in. It's a new day. It's a beginning of a new day. I'll tell you what. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe I know the anointing. I believe I know what the anointing is about. I'm not going to say I know all of it because I don't, you know, God's so vast. But I believe I know what the anointing is and I believe I know what it isn't. And it's not about a lot of excitement. You hear me? It's not a lot of excitement. You know, we can get excited about the things of God, but that's not the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. There's a church back up north, they call it the Church of Excitement. You know, and it's true, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. But I have been there and I haven't sensed the anointing of the Spirit. Like I know the anointing. And like I know what the anointing can do in our lives. Hallelujah. And I believe that in this day there's going to be a lot of counterfeits that are going to come and pass by and say, this is it. This is it. This is it. But it's not. It's not the. If it doesn't change your life and cause you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, it's another spirit. If it's going to excuse the sin and let that sin just go on in your life, and there's no repentance. I appreciated what you said about repenting. You know, it just really touched my heart because I identified with it. You know, I was saved quite a long time before God really allowed, you know, just brought godly sorrow for my sins. Let me see what my sins had done to Him. Even when I had professed to be a Christian, what my sins had done. But I believe in this new day that God's bringing us into, there's going to be a clarity of sound. There's not going to be confusion. I speak peace into this place tonight because I just have sensed the confusion coming against me and against many of us here. And would you agree with me that we just lift off the spirit of confusion? Hallelujah. That has seemed to descend. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your anointing will break the power of confusion in our midst, break the power of confusion in our mind. And God, we call forth your anointing. Amen. That breaks every yoke of bondage that has been positioned against us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got a greater view of heaven. I've got a greater understanding of my responsibilities as a child of God, hopefully as a daughter of God, as a son of God. Greater view of my responsibilities. And it has put a new sobriety in me, and I thank God for that. You know, with that understanding comes new responsibilities. Amen. And when you begin to walk in those new responsibilities, I don't know, it just gives me, you know, kind of a thrill when I begin to walk somewhere that I haven't walked before. Amen? You know, you're walking into a place and you haven't been there before. But it's not only exciting, but there is a knowing, you know, a knowing that God is with you. And there is an authority you feel when you know you're in the will of God. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you all tonight. I want to encourage Glenn. I want to encourage you that there's something good within you. Hallelujah. And God and all of those Old Testament patriarchs are waiting on us. Jesus is waiting on us. But all those, just look at all those, when you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, say it out loud. Each name you come to and say, hey, Moses is waiting on me, Isaac's waiting on me, Jacob's waiting on me, Joseph's waiting on me. I'm reiterating, but I'll tell you, it's been a thrill to me to know that it's going to be one grand body. We tried to sing a song tonight. I thought we had the words for it, but we didn't. But it's we're gathered as a body of the Lord, and we worship Him in one accord. For He dwells not in temples made of stone, for He dwells within the hearts of men alone. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His ears, we're His eyes. He's the head. With His blood we are supplied. And as our lives touch and unions form that cannot be disjoined, we are made visible, the body of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're gathered here tonight, Lord, as your body. Would you just stand with me? You know, I like rededications. I like it when we can dedicate ourselves to the Lord or rededicate ourselves. And, you know, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, for the purposes that He's called you for in this end time, and you hear what I'm saying, let's just do it right now. Amen. Let's do it right now. You feel like you'd like to rededicate yourself? You haven't been serious about the things of God? You haven't been serious about why you're here? Just rededicate yourself to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus, I rededicate myself to you, Lord. I thank you that your mercy is overwhelming, that you wait on us for years. Hallelujah, till we get to that place. Hallelujah. God, just give us a whole new sobriety about your purposes. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. Yes, He is. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love you so. You've been bogged down because of things that are in the past. And I believe that the Lord is saying to you to shake off that which is of the former day and to shake off the sin that has so easily beset. And God, as you do that and as you take that step of faith, God will purify that which is in you. And there shall come an anointing in your life. And there shall come a liberty. And there shall come a new boldness as you give way to the Spirit of God working in you. God says, look no longer backward, for that would just bring you defeat. But look forward into the face of Jesus. And He's saying, come unto Me. Come unto Me. Come unto Me. Hallelujah. He sees that which is in you. Hallelujah. Which He has begun. And no matter what another would say, there are those that have spoken to you and have spoken death into your ears. But the Lord speaks life into your spirit man tonight and calls you forth, amen, into that which has been birthed of Him. Hallelujah. I say that to both of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and let's just rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in every life. And we dedicate ourselves to You afresh. Amen. You know, my brother and sister right here, I want to say to you that your days of disappointment are done. There are those that have disappointed you, that have walked in and said that they've been anointed of the Lord and they've been and you've put your confidence in them. But I'll tell you what, you know, God is going to allow you to have joy in your heart where it seemed like the enemy robbed you of your joy because of what other people have done to you. Amen. The devil can't steal it from you any longer. Hallelujah. God is restoring it to you. Hallelujah. What you knew in former days, He's bringing it back. Not only bringing it back, but He's going to restore it more than you could ever ask or think or believe for. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is that okay? You accept it? You accept it? We receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn, come on. Hallelujah. Amen. It's early. Sing you a song? Okay, sit down. I'll sing you this song. Hallelujah. When I was first exposed to deliverance, I wrote this song. I thought it was crazy, the deliverance I saw going on. And I went home that night and I wrote a song about it. And I never was going to sing it publicly. Now, Glenn talked me into it one night. You know, my husband asked me, how come you like to go down to Lake Hamilton? And I said, I think it's because that the teaching there goes all over the world. And I like to be a part of it. Amen. And it's not only that, I just love Glenn and Irma. Hallelujah. You going to sing it with me? All right. Beg your pardon? Well, I'll sing it. If you're in despair and doubt, get on that chair and shout it out, knowing that the Lord has made a way. For the Father up above will cleanse your heart with love if you just get on that chair and shout it out. Stomp and holler, weep and wail, cough and scream and just travail. Grab a pillow, pound the floor and let it go. If you ask and seek, you'll find He'll meet you every time if you just get on that chair and shout it out. When the power is applied, death and demons cannot hide. The Spirit of the Lord will make it known. So get with it, you'll get free from sin and iniquity. And if you just get on that chair and shout it out. Stomp and holler, weep and wail, cough and scream and just travail. Grab a pillow, pound the floor and let it go. If you ask and seek, you'll find He'll meet you every time if you just get on that chair and shout it out. Stomp and holler, weep and wail, cough and spit it in the pail. Grab a pillow, pound the floor and let it go. If you ask and seek, you'll find He'll meet you every time if you just get on that chair and shout it out. Stomp and holler, weep and wail, cough and spit it in the pail. Grab a pillow, pound the floor and let it go. When you ask and seek, you'll find He'll meet you every time if you just get on that chair and shout it out. Stomp and holler, weep and wail, cough and spit it in the pail. Grab a pillow, pound the floor, and let it go. If you ask and seek, you'll find He'll meet you every time if you just get on that chair and shout it out. If you just get on that chair and shout it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I sang that song to Glenn and Irma, they knew where I'd been. Hallelujah. Here's another one I wrote. The Spirit said in the quiet place, go back to the carpenter's shop. When I asked why, He said it again. Just go back to the carpenter's shop. So not knowing what to expect, but believing that He knew the best, I went back to the carpenter's shop, and day by day, He whittled away. In the closet of the carpenter's shop, He showed me the depths of my heart. When all along I thought I was fine, by His hand He began to refine. So the splinters and ridges and knots, He sanded and pounded and planed. I cried and I tried to give up, as day by day He whittled away. So when you hear the Spirit saying to you, go back to the carpenter's shop, never doubt His purpose for you, as day by day He whittles away. As day by day He whittles away, whittles away, whittles away, whittles away.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.